This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
Here we go. Let's launch right in and get to this week's final hour of AgriTalk. First, a trivia question. I'll answer it in a second. Which crop contract posted the biggest price gain this week?
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Kirk Kimmel from Bates Commodities. And in the final segment, the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jim Lurie.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Here we are.
You betcha. Yeah.
At the end of another week.
Yes.
Can you believe it? You know what?
I kind of can't, but yet I can.
Yes, yes. You know what? Here's some good news for you.
Okay.
The Flory family Thanksgiving celebrations start this weekend.
Outstanding.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, but you know what? By about this time, tomorrow afternoon, I should be able to post my first installment of Thanksgiving 2019 hashtag pie chat.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Any idea what array of flavors or varieties might be involved?
I do. Okay. Because this particular gathering that takes place tomorrow is pretty, it's very traditional. This is going to be a pumpkin pie. We come out to shoot hard.
Okay.
We come out bucking on this one because this is a full-fledged pumpkin pie celebration.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Well, good and for you. My sister-in-law makes it. And she's a pretty doggone good cook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Terrific.
Really good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that part of it. Hey, okay, so I asked the question.
Yes.
Which crop contract posted the biggest price gain this week?
Let's see. Was it lean hogs? No, probably not.
Crop? Crop contract?
Let's see. Crude oil? No.
Oh, good grief. Good grief. It was Dease SRW wheat.
Dease SRW wheat.
Yeah. I mean, when we get to the reasons why wheat was higher this week or today, we're going to talk about dryness in the southern plains, which is where they don't grow SRW, they grow HRW. There's also drought in Australia. That might be helping us out a little bit. But I wonder if it doesn't have something to do with the idea that maybe we're going to see some additional demand for U.S. wheat out of Asia in the months ahead.
Okay.
I think that might be what is going on there. Plus, you know, let's face it, you can't ignore this. Just the simple fact that the daily price chart started to look a little sexy probably encouraged some short covering in that market. May have even encouraged a little bit of long liquidation. Long establishment of long position. Some buying, some fresh buying in SRW wheat.
Buying and wheat don't appear in the same sentence very often.
Not very often, do they? Not very often. So I hope that what we're talking about here is the wheat market, and the winter wheat market in particular, is starting to show us what might start to develop in the rest of the grain markets as they find their footing here as we go into the end of the year.
How do you like that? An optimistic tone from Mr. Flory today.
Yep, I'm bringing it. I'm bringing
That's
it.
That's exciting. That's very exciting.
Well, you know, I heard that optimism helps with the digestive process.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. You know, I'd hate to have a sour belly after tomorrow because
well, sure, and you'd hate to run out of room too.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, a piece of pie
Davis.
Is great. What's better
Davis,
than a piece of pie?
You're talking to a professional here. I'm not running out of room. Okay. Let's get to it. What was moving the markets?
Sure thing. Well, wheat futures pushed to the upside to end the week with front month SRW futures back on top of resistance at 515. Traders say dry conditions in the U.S. Southern Plains is one reason for the buying interest in wheat futures, along with ongoing drought in Australia. Demand for wheat imports is increasing, and talk this week that China might be interested in purchases of U.S. wheat helped support prices. Sources point to increasing food prices in China as a potential tinderbox for civil unrest in China. Pork prices are already sharply higher than a year ago, and increased wheat imports would help stop bread prices from climbing too. December hard red futures were 3 cents higher, 424. December soft red futures jumped 6 1/4 to 515 1/4. December spring wheat softened 2.5 cents to 492 3/4. Chip, am I smoking crack, or do I remember something about Argentina and wheat exports to China?
I think this week you're smoking crack.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, no, there is the potential for that, no okay. doubt about it. The talking about tinderboxes, you've got Hong Kong is a huge tinderbox that Chinese President Xi Jinping is also dealing with. But domestically, he wants to keep those food prices under control, and sure. they're getting away from him.
Yeah. Yep. Well, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's comments that there may not be enough time left in the legislative year to take up USMCA was a negative for the corn market this week, with front month futures anchored under one-time support at 370. However, selling pressure was limited this week by increased export demand for U.S. corn. The increased sales are not only a signal of importers' willingness to extend coverage, they're also a sign that U.S. corn is competitive with supplies from Ukraine and Argentina. December corn futures were 0.25 cents higher, 368 3/4. March corn slipped 0.5 cents to 378 1/2. May corn closed to 383 3/4, down 0.5 cent today, Chip.
As we talked about with Jared Creed yesterday, the competitive stance of U.S. corn can change very quickly because of currency valuations.
Yes.
So we need to watch that as we get into the week ahead. But right now, yeah, we're selling some corn.
Great. Well, Chinese President Xi says he wants to work to a phase one agreement. And President Trump told Fox News this morning that there is a, quote, very good chance to make a deal with China. That certainly sounds like the U.S.-China trade talks are ending the week on a high note, but the bean market remained unimpressed. Most likely, timely and well-placed rains in Brazil, along with increased hedge selling by South American producers in the U.S. market, were the source of the late-week price pressure on soybeans. January bean futures 4 cents lower, 897. March beans fell 4 cents to 911 1/4. May beans closed at 925, down 3.5 today.
We're going to be talking about the South American bean crop more and more and more. 123 million metric tons. It's a big crop.
Long liquidation ahead of the monthly cattle on feed and cold storage reports had live cattle and feeder cattle futures on the defensive throughout the session. December cattle futures 65 cents lower, 118.67 1/2. Feb cattle futures fell a buck 20, 123.85. Jan feeders dropped 3 bucks 32 1/2, 139.27 1/2. And finally, on the snout side, lean hog futures posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a high range close. That should help lean hog futures find footing in the days ahead. Solid export demand and strong domestic pork demand should also help support pork and hog prices. December hogs were 57 1/2 cents higher, 61.22 1/2. February hogs off a buck 20, 123.85. Chip.
All right, very good. Monthly cattle on feed report. Total number of cattle on feed on November 1, up 1%. Place in October, up 10%. Marketed in October, down 1%. Okay. Maybe not the best combination of numbers there that we wanted to see. Real quickly, on the week, December corn off 2.5 cents. January beans dropped 21 1/4. December SRW up 12 1/2 cents. December HRW up 7 cents. Spring D sweet off 10 1/2 cents. D's live cattle down 42 1/2. January feeder cattle down 5 bucks. D's lean hogs down 1.97 1/2.
2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy company's work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hello, Ross. Tell me a little bit about that commitment to developing new solutions.
We've become one of the best innovators in the industry because of the resources we invest to keep our R&D engine humming. On average, we spend over 10 years and nearly $280 million to develop novel seed treatment molecules. Our current new product lineup and pipeline are truly tremendous.
Thanks, Ross. We'll hear more from Ross next week, but for more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
We're saying thank you to our producers. Head on out to your local Titan Machinery location December 2nd through the 7th for the best savings of the year on everything from filters, oil and fluids, to shovels and coulters. Visit TitanMachinery.com/customer appreciation for more information about the discounts available on genuine Case IH parts beginning December 2nd. Stock up and save. Titan Machinery, power and precision to grow. Learn more at TitanMachinery.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon, Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2-punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us for this final hour of AgriTalk. You know, do you guys realize that? Do you think everybody knows that?
I think they probably have a pretty good idea. You know,
we're on 10 hours a week.
Yeah, and the beauty thing is, you know, you can download this little app on your phone.
Yeah.
You can just listen to our stuff over and over and over again. You can take your thumb and, like, back it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to do. So right. Really, the giving doesn't stop on Friday afternoon. It goes on 24/7, baby.
Yes, it does. Yes,
that's how much love we have for the beloved listener.
Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
David.
Huh? Did somebody say something?
Davis.
Someone say my name?
Davis.
It's my interior monologue. That's what it does all day long, man. That's my monologue.
Davis. That might get a touch annoying. Trust me.
You have no idea. This is why we have things like this. It just kind of smooths it over a little bit, you know?
Yeah. You got the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report for us at the end of the show?
I absolutely do. Some interesting developments. Volatility continues to reign the fertilizer markets. Meanwhile, the fuels are fractionally meh this week. We'll talk about it.
Very good.
Let's bring in Kurt Kimmel. Kurt is with Bates Commodities. He joins us right now. Kurt, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing good, Chip. Good. We got sunny skies here in central Illinois. And hi, Comet. Got my head to thinking here. Do you use the Cool Whip approach or the ice cream approach on your pumpkin?
Good question. Good question.
That is an excellent question, Kurt. And I'm telling you, I go sans topping.
Really?
Yes. No Cool Whip, no ice cream. If I'm having pie, I want to have that piece of pie. That's it.
Now, Kurt, if I might weigh in on this. I've kind of got some thoughts here. I think, you know, with a softer pie like your pumpkin pie, I would even throw in pecan. Well, maybe not so much pecan. Pumpkin pie.
Well,
you got to go with a soft topping. You got to have the whipped cream.
Yeah.
And I would even say go the extra mile and make the real whipped cream. You just mix cream and sugar and you whip it till it's creamy. Once we get to apple pie, cherry pie, even pecan pie, as long as it's warm, ice cream.
Huh.
Kirk Kimmel, your thoughts?
Well, I'm just going to have to try it all and see which one wins.
Okay, let me throw this one out to you. What about a big old fat slice of Velveeta cheese on top of that apple pie?
That was on Twitter one time, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it was. And it helped no one.
Shout out to our old friend Rob Sharkey right there. See, I would never use Velveeta. I've had it with cheddar, and it's very good. Very good.
All right.
So, okay, let's get to it here, Kurt. I'm going to start with where I think we could start every show between now and the end of the year, and that is with corn basis, because it's obviously held up stronger than what most anticipated it would. What everybody wants to know is, can it get stronger? When it breaks, when does it break?
Yeah, that's the main conversation. You're correct. That's going to be talked about clearing the next spring, probably. I think it's probably about as good as it's going to get. The concern is this June corn, the quality on it. I think a lot more corn is going to be moved across the scale here, particularly with the condition, guys wanting to just get it off their hands. And I think that's going to supply the demand in through here. But I don't think it's necessarily going to completely fall apart, because, as you well know, when you've got major grain buyers seeking this crop aggressively and even paying some drying charges, that it's phenomenal. There's some demand underneath this market trying to secure some inventories. Even the truckers are seeing some extra 3, 4, 5 cent income on moving this crop around, trying to get to where it needs to go. The thing is, on the basis that it offers guys opportunities, and you can do the basis through the elevator, or you can write your own basis by selling the cash, receiving 100% of the money yourself, and re-owning it yourself, and kind of manage it that way.
Yeah.
It saves a little bit of the cost and so forth. And it's great to get some money to pay some bills. But one thing, keep in mind that we are still subject to some downside price risk if we don't see this market move higher. We're just moving ownership from the cash to the paper. And it still needs to be managed. And of all years, though, this is the year to do a basis or create your own basis compared to past history. Yeah. Now, looking forward, and in past history, whenever we've had heavy, heavy participation in the basis or re-ownership, it gave us an idea of when the lows could occur in the futures market. And you need to keep that in mind, because you don't want to be selling at that point in time. And, of course, obviously, it's whenever we get the market in position to head into the delivery process, or the elevator guy calls up and says, we need to do some of your basis contracts. So looking forward in the crystal ball, I would imagine February 28th, April 30th, June 30th, August 31st are going to be some low time windows in here as owners of these basis contracts exit or move to another month, Chip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the question came up yesterday about what do you do if you've got a basis contract that your option is up on it early next week. You've either got to set the price on it, or you've got to roll it out to the March early next week. What do you tell those guys, Kurt? Do you go ahead and lock it in, take it, or do you roll it out?
Yeah, it just depends on the individual and their own situation, you know, cash flow needs, storage, so forth. But we're inclined, if you're in that time window, to move it on out to the March to get through the first part of the year here and get yourself a little time. And the other thing to do would be, if you do need some cash, extra cash, pick up the rest of them, don't want to mess with it, just price it out, replace ownership with a call option. The option volatility is relatively low. You can buy deep in the money option, fairly reasonable in through here, and that'll get you some extra time in through here without having to pay a whole lot of premium, maintain some ownership on the books here for some type of recovery here as we go through the winter.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, if you've got a question for Kurt, give us a holler. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the tweet. That last 20% of the crop that's still out there in the field, roughly, and I'm talking about corn here, Kurt, how much of an impact can that have on our price direction? I know that you said, it's probably all June-planted corn that's still left out there in the field, and the quality issues and everything are a huge question mark. But how much of an impact can it really have on our pricing going forward?
I don't think a whole lot. I think we're going to get down to that last 10%. It might be April before that comes out.
Yeah.
A lot of it's probably not even going to be harvested in certain cases, but I think it's going to be strung out enough that it's not going to come to town all at once. So I don't think it's going to keep a lid on prices. And I believe that it's just going to take some time. The next 10% should come out fairly quickly because we've got farmers helping farmers now trying to get this crop out. So it's just going to be that last 10%. I think it's going to be there all winter long.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point, guys. That some guys have doubled or even tripled their harvest capacity here with guys showing up to help them get stuff done. For the most part, over in your area, Kurt, how were corn yields? Pretty good?
Yeah, just like everybody else, better than expected, but down from a year ago.
Yeah.
We've had some 240, 250s, where a year ago it was 270, 280. Yeah. This June corn's just like everybody else. It's 200 to 220, but it's still 25% moisture on the wet side. There was some other different numbers and varieties that dried down. They got close to 20. So it's spotty. You go for a while, it's out, then you run into some.
Yep.
But what I thought would never happen was the LP situation gassed to dry this stuff down. And it's starting to get a little bit more manageable.
Yeah, yeah. It's loosening up a little bit. We're going to talk about that with Davis in the final segment today, I am sure. Okay, we are talking with Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities. We've talked about that 2019 marketing. When we come back, I want to talk about China and its impacts on 2020 crop marketing.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, weather or not.
In today's uncertain ag environment, it can be easy to lose your focus. At Commodity Classic, you can sharpen your vision for the future of your farm with insight from well-known thought leaders in agriculture, eye-opening innovation and technology, and the sheer energy of being around thousands of positive, talented farmers. There's no doubt, the 2020 Commodity Classic will help you see your future clearly. Plan now to be in San Antonio, February 27th through 29th. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at January rice futures today. After having posted a 16-month high around $12.50 per hundredweight in September, the rice market has been working lower. A slight rise in the USDA harvest forecast likely played a role in the slippage, but concurrent losses in the grain, soybean, and cotton markets probably spurred spillover selling as well. However, this week's news that South Korea will increase its imports of U.S. rice sparked a resurgence, which carried the Jan future above its short-term downtrend and its 40-day moving average. It closed at a four-week high at 12 and a quarter yesterday. And while it's set back today, the breakout certainly seems to imply potential for a bullish follow-through. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, Dan, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. He's going to be out next week, but we'll get your tech talks covered for you. Okay, buddy? Happy Thanksgiving.
You bet. You too.
All right. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught on Tech Talk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Flory, along with Kid Rock and Davis Michelson.
10-4.
We've got Kirk Kimmel today from Bates Commodities. Before we get back to that, and the rare cooking tip from Dan Vaught.
Yes.
Let's get to a recap of what happened in the markets today.
December hard red futures 3 cents higher, 424. December soft red futures jumped 6.25 cents to 515.25. December corn futures were a quarter of a cent higher at 368.75. March corn off a half cent, 378.5. January bean futures 4 cents lower, 897. March beans 4 cents lower, 911.25. December cattle futures were 65 cents lower, 118.67.5. January feeders dropped $3.32.5 to 139.27.5, and December hogs were 57.5 cents higher at 61.22.5. That's your quick market recap.
Now right. Back to you, Chip.
Yes, thank you, Davis. Kurt you Kimmel, bet. Bates Commodities. Kurt, during the one of the last breaks here, Dan Vaught, I don't know what to think of this. Mm-hmm. He sends me a note and says, for better apple pie, grate the apples. What do you think of that? Have you had it that way?
No.
No. See, either have I. I mean, I'm willing to put a hashtag pie chat on this one, too. But grated apples in an apple pie, Davis?
You know, I don't know. It seems like what we need to do, we need to take this idea back to the AgriTalk kitchen, get our people on it right away, and give it a try. I'm thinking 5 or 6 pies ought to give us the answer we need.
Seems like an Arkansas thing to me. I don't know. I don't know. You know, here's what we ought to do. We ought to go down there, get in some flooded timber, shoot a bunch of greenheads, and eat a bunch of grated apple pie just to see what it's like in Arkansas.
I don't see why not.
There you go.
I can leave from right here. Is the show still going? Oh, we still got the show to do yet, though.
We got to go. All right. Let's hurry up and get it done so that we can hit the road.
We're coming, Dan. We're coming, buddy.
All right, Kurt Kimmel. Hey, so we've talked about this corn basis because, well, that's what everybody wants to talk about in this corn market right now. Let's talk about China, potential trade agreement. I said it at the start of the show. One of the reasons I think that President Xi Jinping is starting to indicate that, you know what, we need to get this thing done, is just that food price inflation in China. They've got to do something to move this along quicker, don't they?
Well, that's always been the greatest fear and one of the bullish things that we've been talked about for years and years and years is that food in Asia need to keep their people fed. I don't know if Hong Kong is a little bit of a different situation, but you can run into situations where uprisings. There's been stuff on Twitter where videos of a load of pork comes in or a load of food comes in, and it's a concern. Yeah, so hopefully the heat's on, and hopefully they'll want to come to some type of agreement, because this has just been drug on. But we had a big package, and there's no way they would agree on that. And they said, okay, let's, as you know, phase 1, 2, and 3, but let's just agree on something to get the process rolling. So this phase 1's very, very critical to have come to reality as soon as we can to, kind of put some fires out on both sides. But from the soybean perspective or the grain side of it, we need to have it fairly quickly because we're losing our time window if we're going to include 2019 production in it. As of right now, they'll start focusing on the southern hemisphere, so we've just got a short window in through here to hopefully see some demand come forward and optimism. Otherwise, that business is going to go to the southern hemisphere. Then what you're going to be talking about in your program is the dock strike, the port strike, muddy roads, whatever.
Davis, make notes. He's filling content for us in the future here, and I think he's right.
I'm writing all this down. Well, don't stop him. Let him go.
So, it's a ongoing process whether they get something accomplished. And we don't know because a lot of this stuff's rumors or secondhand, and they just need to agree on something to go from there. But the demand that's really come out of the woodwork here was on the pork side.
We saw
pork sales, 54,000 tons. A lot of that was Japan. And however, the pork market or the meat market took a hit, just the fact that poultry was bought, and they're going, oh my God, they're going to buy chicken instead of pork. But if you look at the weekly export sales report on pork, it was new 2020. China stepped in, bought over 34,000 tons of pork in one shot there. So, at least we're seeing some positive export news surface here over the near term.
Right. Okay. Now, I want to take that conversation, and I want to turn it into a couple of different conversations here. First off, 2020 grain marketings. What does all this mean for when you look at your opportunities that you've got in DEIS 2020 corn at 392.5? I mean, is that an opportunity, or do you continue to wait for a better selling opportunity?
Most of the services are looking at $4 plus,
right.
and that's worked over the last few years. Mentality out in the country is we're looking at the price, what we went through this year. If we get in the field early next year, we have acres. This corn market can't go up. So I think there's going to be some aggressive or a little bit more urgency to, you know, clean up the 19 and get started on the 2020. What we did a year ago, we're going to do it again this year, is put some covered positions on. For example, a year ago we bought some new crop, $4 calls, sold some 450 calls. So when we go above $4, we can sell and have a covered position on. And we're going to be looking at that here, too, with September, $4.10, $5 call spread, or September, $4.10, $4.90, $4.80 call spread for about 10 cents. So you can put those hedge to arrives on or forward sales, then have some comfort. If we run into another market, you can sell into it and have some coverage and don't feel like you're selling too low. So I think you got to have some covered positions here and take advantage of the marketplace. Whereas beans, a good old-fashioned hedge with the wide base is still intact and some carry in the marketplace, maybe some hedge to arrives there.
Okay. How aggressive do you want to get with the hedge to arrives? Because it feels to me that just course of conversation with guys on a daily basis, they look at that, you know, 400 and whatever million bushel carryover projection for the end of the 2019-20 marketing year. And yeah, it's half of what it was at the end of the 2018-19. So there is some bullish momentum behind that. They feel like they want to be optimistic because of this, you know, cutting carryover in half, but 400 plus million bushels is still a lot of beans, right?
Well, it's still a lot compared to past history. The thing is, we need to regain the market share to Asia. We picked up some market share from other parts of the world. But I think if it's profitable, lock it in. We don't like moving more than 50% of your crop, you know, ahead of getting it out of the ground.
Gotcha. Okay. May hog futures, just call them $80. June, $85. July, $85. Even a little bit better than that. You feel like we need to do anything in those spring, summer month hog futures?
We're looking at, until this past week, we're looking at a $30 premium on out this summer there.
Yeah.
You start talking leans 90 plus. I think price floors, some option strategies to lock that in to give you some opportunity to take advantage of that is the key. But that's lofty levels, and if this pork business does not come to reality, we could see that erode here as we go into next spring. Still looking at huge hog numbers. We're feeding to heavier weights. We got plenty of supply around, so it's going to be real important to move this. If you watch the pork cutout values, we've seen $3, $4, $5 breaks in that. Right now we're seeing the hams being aggressively bid for the holiday, and once we get through the ham season here, it's going to have these pork bellies baking or something pick up the slack here, because we're going to have plenty of product around if we're unable to move this to Asia. The other part though is Japan particularly, some of these other countries are showing a lot more interest, and hopefully we'll see some trade deals finalized here fairly quickly with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been looking at we've been talking this week about the trade deal with Japan because of the action by the lower parliament or lower house of parliament in Japan earlier this week. And you know, it's something that you want to get excited about, and it feels like there is substance to that, but we still need to see the sales made. We still need to see the product shipped. We still need to see all of that take place there before we can get too excited about it. Kurt, we're out of time, buddy. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Enjoy and let us know the outcome of those pies.
Oh, you know it. You know
it's
it.
Big 10-4.
Yeah, what you want to do is stay on hashtag Pie Chat on Twitter, and we're gonna sort some issues out. I know it's not an easy job, Kurt, but I'm willing to do my part.
I appreciate you tackling that challenge. Thank there, you. Chip.
Thank
Take
you
care,
very much.
Good.
Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities. Jeez. When we come back, David's going to have the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report for us right here on AgriTalk.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call. at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
The education at Commodity Classic is simply unmatched in all of agriculture.
This is for learning. This is an opportunity to meet with people that you don't get to see on a daily basis. There's a lot of really big, important people who know a lot. And I think that's something that you don't get on a daily basis, and that's awesome.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind. See? It's just that easy.
What happens if you include a tweet that has hashtag AgriTalk on it?
We may or may not see it, and we may or may not respond. But at least it's out there. You've done your part.
At least it's out there.
Yeah.
That's right. Welcome back. Glad that you could join us today. At Corn Firmer, I agree. I agree with you on that. And I think Paul in Northeast Iowa is doing your hashtag AgriTalk ding.
He is.
Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's funny. It's clever.
I got to get
That's
there.
Paul, though.
Yeah.
You know.
That is Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now. Right now, Chad Ingles is rolling his eyes going, are you talking about the same Paul that I'm talking about? Love it. Love it.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Elon Musk, a very smart guy. Yeah. Do you think he's ever seen a pickup truck?
I don't know. I think he's seen two different vehicles in his life, mm-hmm. for sure. He has seen an El Camino and a DeLorean, and he kind of decided that maybe if you throw them all together, we're going to call him a pickup truck.
I wonder if he bumped his head real hard on either one of those vehicles. That might be the explanation.
That could be. Oh, my gosh. That's too funny what he's doing. But, you know, there is an electric truck that's mm-hmm. already out there. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the name of it right now. But there is a truck, and it's not a Ford. It's not a Chevy. It's not a Tesla. It's not a Ram. It's not, you know, mm-hmm. but it is an electric-powered truck. Okay. And you know how the guy...
Oh, jeez.
You know how the guy funded the whole effort?
How did he do it?
He funded it with his profits off his Tesla stock. I think that's brilliant. I think that's just absolutely awesome. Oh, my gosh. National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, November 28th through December 2nd, has got the above-normal temperatures for most of the Corn Belt, but it's got that above normal yes. precipitation as well when you jump out to the 8 to 14 day. And we're going to get to it here in just a second. 8 to 14 day, November 30 to December 6. Below normal temperatures come rolling in out of the northwest, but we keep the above normal precipitation in there. All right. You ready?
Let's
get to it. The Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs and Monitor for weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district. Visit ProFarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Ding, ding, ding.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. An interesting week this week. Let's just jump right to the fuels, okay?
Okay. Yep.
I've got Ruby Red Farm Diesel. That's down this stuff. Week. Yeah, that's the good stuff. Down 7 cents per gallon this week to a regional average of $2.37. If I flip over to my heating oil futures screen really quick, yeah, there you go. See, heating oil, front month contract, still under $2, but still above $1.90. $2.37 seems a little bit undervalued to me here. Might not be a bad time to top off. Just top off a little diesel, maybe. Although I will say, and I said this last week too, every single freaking year,
yeah,
we see prices begin to dive about now and hit a bottom right around the first of the year. So if you got something that you need to do, you have too much money somehow this year, need to spend some ahead of the first of the year, diesel's a good way to do that. I'd wait till right around Christmas time.
Or wait till right after Christmas time if you can't wait to get a jump on 2020's expenditures. You can do it then and still take advantage of that. We call it the Santa Claus swoon, lower prices for diesel around Christmas time. But, I mean, a 7-cent dive today, if it keeps on pace, man. Well, and I said it, our five-year average, it seemed like a stretch to me. Our five-year average is at $2.30 a gallon for farm diesel. Right. And I had speculated maybe we'd get there. Half not believing my own words.
Yeah,
here we are just 7 cents above that. We've proven this week. We can propane unchanged on the week at $1.22. Looks like Ohio is off 17 cents. Kansas up 7. Illinois up 9 cents on propane there. And supplies do appear to be loosening. Although Canada's having the trouble now because of the railroad strike.
The railroad strike, right?
Yeah, quite the deal.
Yeah, they're down to like a 3.5 day supply of propane in some areas.
Yeah, yeah, and as I see, they've taken to the streets. Good for you, Canada. Good for you, Canada. Only one fertilizer higher in our 12-state survey this week. That's anhydrous ammonia, up $1.75 by the short ton regionally. Now at a regional average of $5.02.10. Most states unchanged. Same deal with your phosphates. Most states unchanged. Both DAP and MAP off more than $5, with MAP leading declines there. Just to kind of give you an idea, Nebraska's off about $20. Here's Ohio off about $20 on MAP, and Ohio DAP down about $50. Potash down $3.93, still overpriced compared to anhydrous ammonia, but now underpriced compared to our nutrient composite index. I'm keeping an eye on that. There's something to be watched there. UAN 28% off $1.12. UAN 32% leads declines this week, down a full $8.92. Urea down $2.21. All told, our nutrient composite index dropped 6.02 points on the week. That's after firming about 7.50 points last week. We're now at 557.59, compares to the five-year average of about 600 points. So we're in pretty good shape on these fertilizer prices here. And, and anhydrous higher this week, sure. You know, $1.50 higher. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think we're fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. At Jay Hansman hit me with this. It's Rivian e-truck. And that is, I took a look at that real quick there, John, and that is one of them. But the company that I was thinking of is Bollinger. I think it's Bollinger Motors.
Okay.
They've got an electric truck that was financed with Tesla stock
That's
profits.
Outstanding. I love that.
Yeah, I love it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Total Rockers. The farming industry is where the line between rockers and rednecks blurs into a rich tapestry of awesomeness. Now today's tweets, at Indie Farmer, big rock hunting today. He's got his bucket full of a rock. At W Dirt, fire up the General Lee. We got LP to bootleg.
Nice.
And at DFaber 84, kind of excited that I was able to shoot my own turkey for Thanksgiving this year.
Nice.
All the people in the frozen food section were not as excited.
Faber.
Something
be careful
wrong.
With that. Thanks
Something
for listening wrong. Today. Thanks to Kurt Kimmel, for Davis, and producer Joe Stackler. You all have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning. Monty Shaw from the Iowa RFA on AgriTalk.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners. This is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.